Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this week is the fourth anniversary of the storm we call Sandy. Mayor de Blasio admitted last week that the city will not meet its own goal for Build It Back, the city's program to help Sandy-affected homeowners repair, elevate, and rebuild their homes damaged during the storm. The city's ambitious goal was to have all construction finished by the end of this year, but cost overruns and what the mayor called a tangle of bureaucracy slowed progress. Here with me now to update us on where Build It Back stands now are WNYC editor Matthew Sherman and DNA Info reporter Katie Honan, who covers Queens. Hi, Katie. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And hi, Matthew.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
And in a few minutes, Amy Peterson, the director of the Build It Back program, will join us. And we will have time for a few phone calls from applicants to the program. So any Sandy-affected homeowners who are still going through the Build It Back process, give us a call now to ask Amy Peterson, the program's director, or our journalist guests, your questions, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Katie, can you get specific for us on how short and how the program fell short of its self-imposed goals?
Well, the mayor and his office have touted what they expect to happen by the end of the year. They believe that 75% of the homes that are currently still within the program will be completed, and 90% will have begun. And of course, around this time last year, he anticipated that everything would be completed, that the program would completely wrap up, which I think in speaking to people within the program, both working for Build It Back and applicants, they knew that that could not happen.
It was always considered too ambitious.
Incredibly ambitious.
Too big numbers as their goals by too short a time frame. So, Matthew, you're joining us from Staten Island, I know, where you're reporting on Build It Back. I understand you talked to homeowners who applied to the program but weren't accepted. What are you seeing?
I'm talking to homeowners who may have dropped out of the program in particular, just because of the length of the process of applying and qualifying, and especially the deadlines that were imposed over the last year. 20,000 plus people applied to the program. Not all those made it through the application process. You may remember very early on, the company that was doing the intake kept losing forms, asking people to resubmit, and a lot of people just gave up where they found better options by getting Mennonites or local nonprofit groups, church groups to come and fix their houses themselves. But then in addition, over the past year or so, a number of other people have dropped out or been removed for one reason or other. So that's some of the people who I've been talking to today, right?
And Katie, in the letter that the mayor attached to his report on the program, he cited this, quote, tangle of bureaucracy that made it nearly impossible to hit the program's goals. It's a complaint you'd normally hear from ordinary citizens trying to make their way through a government process. If the city is getting lost in a tangle of bureaucracy, what does that mean? That it's a federal bureaucracy ensnaring the city, or how do you understand it?
I think it literally is a tangle of bureaucracy, and what I mean, and the mayor, in at least admitting it, I think is a positive step forward. Although the city has made changes to a lot of their permitting, and they made these sort of wide changes that would allow permits to get done a lot faster. But I think what a lot of the program applicants, you know, when you think of the neighborhoods that are impacted by Hurricane Sandy, you have neighborhoods that have very unique streets. You have homes that are very close to one another. You have a lot of homes that may have outstanding permits through decades of work. And what the program officials, I don't think they realize, just dealing with each individual home would take much longer than they thought.
So let's bring in the director of Build It Back, Amy Peterson. Hi, Amy. Thanks for coming on WNYC today.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So having heard what you heard so far described by two journalists, is Build It Back behind schedule and out of money as is being reported? And what would you say to the public about why we're in the situation we're in?
year ago, the mayor set a very aggressive goal to complete the program by the end of this year for a number of reasons. One was to show our commitment to the homeowners and certainly to make sure that all the resources that could be dedicated to this program were dedicated. And because of that goal, we've made a lot of progress. By the end of the year, 90% of the people will be served and 75% of the city-managed construction projects will be complete. That wouldn't have been possible without this aggressive goal. But it is very complicated. It's something that no one's ever tried before, and it's something that no one's ever been faced before in this type of urban environment.
Because both of our reporters have said that there was, you know, a lot of skepticism from the start about whether the program could actually be completed by the end of this year. Did the city not realize that, or did they set a very ambitious goal thinking that, okay, if this really ambitious goal helps us get 75% of the way there, instead of a less ambitious goal helping us get 50% of the way there, we'll take that?
The reason the goal was set, understanding very much that it was very aggressive, was just to do that, to ensure that everyone was focused on it, and that's what worked. You know, this is something that's a partnership between my office and the people who are building these homes, the agencies that regulate all of this, and the homeowners themselves, and making sure everyone knew we were working hard to get this done was incredibly important.
I've seen quotes from homeowners in the program where they're talking about the high cost of elevating their homes, saying things along the lines of, if the city would just cut them a check, they could hire a company to do the construction themselves for a lot cheaper than what it's costing through the program. In some parts of Queens, the construction costs to raise houses along the water are up to almost $1 million per house, I've seen it reported. How do you respond to those homeowners? Is the tangle of bureaucracy causing it to be more expensive to get something done that the homeowners could do on their own better if they just got a check and used the private sector?
I think what the mayor raises in his letter is the question that we're all asking now and we should all ask, is this the right model? The costs associated with the program are high for a number of reasons. One of them is due to the complexity of constructing homes in these communities. The reason our program was set up the way that it was is because the check writing programs typically haven't worked in the past and resulted in elevated homes and have really left homeowners short and unable to do the work that they need to do. We do have an option where the homeowner chooses their own contractor can move forward, and you know that's had success but is also a challenge. So I think that we all need to think about what we've done over the last 4 years and what we should prepare ourselves to do the next time.
Pat in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
Hi, Pat. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm in the Bronx, and I have applied and was accepted and got some work done, and I was, as a senior citizen, I thought it was the most greatest thing. I chose the city contractors because I felt that that would be the better deal, and that has turned out not to be. They come, they do a little bit of work, they disappear, and nobody can give me any answers. We're heading into another winter now, which I'm very concerned about, and they talk about what's dangerous and what needs to be fixed, but I am left with the work unfinished. They originally told me 94 days, which I said, oh, three months, that's great. Well, it's been 3 years.
Why do you think, Pat? What went wrong?
I think that the lack of having some accountability to people that you either know or that are in close proximity to where the house is part of the problem. That people probably, in most cases, could get their own contractors or find a contractor that is in their neighborhood to do work. But there's so many different scopes because, I mean, I had boiler, I had roof, I had asbestos. So there's a lot of things, mm-hmm. but nobody is in control of anything.
Amy Peterson, can you help Pat?
Any what?
I'm asking Amy Peterson, director of the Build It Back program, who's on the line with us. Can you help Pat?
Yes, and I'd love to get Pat's contact information, although I think some people here know who she is. What happens when you start in these homes, because this is government-funded and because HUD is funding this, you know, it's very important that we deal with all of the issues that arise. So I'm not saying this is in Pat's home, but we need to deal with lead and asbestos, any structural issues. And so it becomes more complicated when you get in there, but we will reach out to Pat, and I will make sure she has an end date for her work.
Pat, hang on. We'll take your contact information off the air. It sounds like they already know who you might be, but we'll take that off the air and make sure that you make that connection and they make it. WNYC's Matthew Sherman in Staten Island. I see the city is now offering up to $150,000 plus the pre-storm value of the home to build it back applicants to entice homeowners to move. Is anyone taking the city up on that offer, and why would they want that?
I believe they have. Amy would know better than I do, but I hear that there's been some uptake. It's a fairly new incentive that was put in there. My understanding is that slowly but surely Build It Back has discovered that, you know, a lot of these houses, because of how old they are, how much retrofitting they have to go through, it's often less expensive to just buy somebody out than it is to and then sell the property to, let's say, a developer or someone else to rebuild, than it is to actually try to rebuild their own house. You mentioned before the $1 million price tag on elevating some of the homes. I think Amy will dispute that. That's the case at all, or certainly a common case. But you know, it gives you a flavor of, you know, why spend so much money, why spend more money than a home is worth to repair it and elevate it. And you could actually give someone an extra $150,000 if they, you know, qualify for under the various incentives, so, in order to find another place elsewhere in the city to move.
So, Amy, when do you want to buy people out? And do you dispute that $1 million to elevate some of the homes? Because it's been widely reported.
So on the acquisition program, acquisition has always been an option, but it's clear that, you know, the thing that's true certainly in all of these communities across the city that were impacted is there's a real commitment to home ownership. There's a real commitment to staying in New York City. So this new acquisition option deals with that issue, helping people to actually relocate in New York City, and that's how they can get the additional up to $150,000. We're hoping to see an interest in that, and we've got an event tomorrow in Queens focusing on the specific owners who are still in the construction pipeline. We are definitely seeing costs that are higher than you would imagine. One of the things that is very clear is the complexity to building these homes. And so back in 2013, when this started, there was a different building code and there was a different flood maps. And the idea was that you would lift these homes, build up their existing foundation, and set them back down. That is certainly not what has to happen to prepare them and make sure they're safe and resilient for future storms. So we're doing helical piles. We're doing new foundations. These are old bungalows. Some of them we're doing structural repairs. So we're moving forward in that way.
Let's talk to Jake in Brooklyn, who's calling in and says he's a contractor for the Build It Back program in the Rockaways. Jake, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey there. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank
How are you doing?
Good.
Awesome. So I'm just curious. I am a choose-your-own contractor working the Build It Back project. And I've noticed, one, these houses being raised with these $1 million price tags, while houses that are being demolished and rebuilt, price tags more like $400,000. Second, I've seen developers' bids for houses that were demolished and rebuilt as almost up to $1 million with $300,000 soft cost. And I'm trying to figure out how the city balances that between developers making all this money off these projects where contractors just basically scraping by to rebuild houses.
Amy Peterson?
One of the things we've found in this program is that you need a lot of resources. There's not a huge single-family construction market out there in New York City. So we had people who bid on this project and started this program back in 2013, and we've brought on new people. We have always seen that elevations in the majority of cases are less expensive than rebuilding homes. It's
How
important.
Could it be less expensive if the price tag's twice as much for elevations?
So it's what's very hard to do in this program is compare one home to another home because there's different things that are associated with different homes. We have some homes that are very close to, you know, overhead subways and require different mitigation as we move forward. We have some homes that are adjacent to wetlands. We have some homes that are in coastal erosion hazard areas. So a big part of what we've learned and seen is that each home has different specific issues that need to be dealt with. Related to the bureaucracy, which is part of, you know, costs come from the time it takes to do a project in addition to the work that has to happen. And so, you know, since we took over, we've really tried to deal with those issues and move forward, and we continue to make major changes. The flood tech zoning amendment allowed everyone to move forward. We really are working with DEC and everyone to move forward on wetlands. So we continue to try to make changes to the program to allow contractors to do this work more quickly.
Jake, thank you very much, and call us again. Glad you were a first-time caller. WNYC's Matthew Sherman and Katie Honan from DNA Info. We have 2 minutes left in the program. Any quick question that either of you, as reporters on this beat, want to ask Amy Peterson, director of the Build It Back program? Katie, go ahead, real quick.
Yeah, well, Amy, I'll ask, and I've heard this from a lot of homeowners who, within the last year after the mayor made his 2016 goal that was unmet, there were a lot of bad decisions made, in their opinion. They were rushed out of their homes for work not to start. How would you foresee 2017 being any different than the last, what was supposed to be the final year of Build It Back, on behalf of the homeowners who have been waiting many, many years for any progress?
I would say that we are committed to getting this program done, and as we work to move forward, we understand all of the things that have to happen. A big part of the frustration on the homeowners was moving out and not seeing work happen, and that's something we've been able to shrink dramatically. The time to do utility disconnects has gone from, you know, 3 to 6 months to less than 14 days. Every time a new contractor comes on and does a project, the next one they do better and more quickly. Additionally, one of the big issues has been getting the homeowners the ability to move out. So now we can actually rent apartments directly for these homeowners, which will also shorten that time. We are committed to get these homeowners home, and we're getting a lot of them home, have already, and we expect to have 75% home by the end of the year.
Is there a new goal for 100%, a new goal date?
Well, what we're excited about the acquisition program, and we also have given, you know, the move-out piece has been complicated, so we've allowed people to have a little bit more flexibility around the holidays in terms of move-out. So once we see the uptick in those, we'll have a better sense of our path forward for completion.
All right. Amy Peterson, director of the city's Build It Back program, WNYC editor Matthew Sherman on Staten Island, and DNA Info reporter Katie Honan, who covers Queens. Thank you all very much for having this conversation with us. Amy Peterson, you want to just tell homeowners where they should go with further questions if they don't already know?
Well, they should call our call center and go to our centers. You know, for us, it's really important that they reach out if they have questions and they're unsure. This is, you know, we're going to get each homeowner home one at a time.
Thank you all very much.